And joining us now from Boston is WCAI Statehouse reporter Mike Dean. Morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Big news on Beacon Hill yesterday. The estranged husband of former Senate President Stan Rosenberg is facing felony charges related to a sexual assault scandal that ended Rosenberg's tenure as Senate president. A grand jury indicted Brian Hefner yesterday on 5 charges of sexual assault, criminal lewdness, and unlawfully distributing nude photos. And we've been reporting on this breaking story all morning and will continue as we get more updates. But before this news broke, Mike, lawmakers were focused on a few other things we're going to talk about right now. And one of those is the budget process. It's ramping up on Beacon Hill. But some budget watchers are saying the state's rainy day fund is in jeopardy.
Yeah, this is one of the long-term kind of prognostications that we get from budget watchers once in a while. This is from the Massachusetts Taxpayers Foundation. They've really always been analyzing the budget year after year, and they take a look at revenues and they take a look at spending and really just determine if the state's doing what it should be doing in order to stay in the black as much as possible. One thing that they were warning about this week is that the rainy day fund, which is basically the state savings account, needs to have an influx of cash really sooner rather than later. Their message to reporters and kind of staffers around the building who will inform their boss about the budget was, we're not putting enough into that savings account for when the next recession comes around. And that's one thing that I think lawmakers might not necessarily have at top of mind when you want to pay for education, you want to pay for local aid. But we use the rainy day fund to get out of the last recession. It's been almost 10 years now since that last recession, and we're due for another one. We do not have the funds that we did in 2008, 2009, to dig us out of the hole again.
Kind of switching gears a little bit, lawmakers also this week rejected an aid in dying bill. It's an issue that we've covered here on WCAI with a local retired doctor, Roger Kligler, who's been vocal in his support of aid in dying as he is suffering from cancer himself.
This is an issue that's it's really emblematic of a lot of the way that Beacon Hill operates year to year. Thousands of bills get filed. Only very few of them make it all the way through to the governor's desk to become law. It wasn't that long ago that, assisted suicide, aid in dying was voted down out of the statewide ballot question. That kind of thing puts the idea in members' minds that it's a settled issue. That is a really, really hard thing for a lot of advocates to come back from and say, oh, no, this bill is different, and that we need to reverse what voters said through the legislature. Things are different on aid in dying. I think the hearing this year was one of the better attended, if I recall. But still, it's just not the kind of hard vote that lawmakers are really going to look to take up right away unless there's a pressing need.
And finally, a little bit of a preview. Coming up next week, lawmakers are going to take up this massive criminal justice bill.
It cannot be overstated how important this criminal justice bill is, at least according to lawmakers and legislative leaders. This is most of the work that they've been doing this year, aside from the budget, has really led up to this criminal justice reform bill. It does any multitude of things. It literally does hundreds, if not thousands, of small changes to the criminal justice system. Everything from raising the price of larceny up to $1,200. So that means more misdemeanors and fewer felony charges for robbery, basically. It changes how solitary confinement is used. It changes parts of the parole and parolee system. It changes a lot about bail fees and parole and probation fees so that people, once they get out of prison, aren't in a cycle of having to pay and owe and pay and owe. It does a lot about prisoner services post-release, job training, things like that. The major piece that people are going to be interested in, though, is that it does remove almost every mandatory minimum sentence for nonviolent drug offenses. It does not go as far as the Senate wanted to, but it basically does away for any nonviolent minimum aside from heroin charges. Class A, heroin, fentanyl, carfentanil, those are now in a different category, but everything else is very much up to the discretion of the judge now instead of those mandatory laws on the books.
How does the governor feel about this bill? I mean, this is the compromise bill from both chambers. Is he receptive to this?
It's a compromise bill from the legislature, which means it's a pretty much a done deal as far as the Democrats in the legislature are concerned. This bill isn't going to change. It's going to be on his desk in the next couple of weeks. The governor seemed enthusiastic that they got it done. He mentioned that he liked what it does with fentanyl and carfentanil. It reclassifies those drugs in line with federal guidelines, which makes it easier for prosecutors to go against dealers and traffickers in those areas. We don't know how he feels about those mandatory minimum sentences. sentences and different aspects there. The entire bill aims to go really softer on people involved in the criminal justice system. And it remains to be seen if Baker will go along with a lot of that.
And that is WCAI State House reporter Mike Dean checking in from Boston. Mike, thanks a lot and talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure.